Phone's ringing.
Kill Radio. Hello?
Hello, is this John?
We have Ian Kleinfeld on the line. Hello, Ian.
Hi, sorry, I got in some trouble with the Department of Homeland Security and I lost track of time.
Oh, no, that's okay. I've been doing lines of coke, just waiting for you to call. Oh, my God, I'm tripping.
Man, you must be wired out of your skull.
Oh, no, actually, I'm drinking this coffee here, and it's from the gas station down the street, and it is, it's premium. That's what it's
called. Oh, I'm really sorry. Okay. So, well, good. How's the show going?
The show's going well. I've been reading a progress report that I got from my mother about the various lies that Cheney has made, and I've read some articles about some of the things that are going on today, like Bush and Putin trying to get together in the war on terror, and senators threatening to hold up the Patriot Act, and also hawkish Democrats saying enough already, let's get the hell out of Iraq.
Right, it's shocking, you know.
Yep.
I'm just really glad that Bush looked into Putin's eyes and saw his soul. That's all I have to say.
Well, over there, that's what you have to do, because we all wear our souls on our sleeve.
Exactly.
Before we get into just, chatting about the general state of affairs, I'm not sure how much time. I have like 10 minutes, so I want to make sure I use it wisely and let everybody who's listening and who will listen later when they download the show about democracymeansyou.com, because I think it's an awesome website that everybody who's interested in politics should go to. It's one of the few websites that actually divides its articles between funny and serious, so that whatever you're in the mood for, you can get. So tell me a little bit about democracymeansyou.com and how you became its evil warlord.
Well, I was an evil warlord before it came around. It kind of followed me. After September 11th, 2001, of course, I just got really, let's just say ticked off. I think I can say ticked off on the air, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. We're on the internet, right?
This is killradio.org. This is...
Oh, that's right. I can say whatever I want, huh?
Please, say whatever you want.
Well, shit, I got fucking pissed off. After September 11th, I just got tired of seeing all the flag stickers everywhere. And ironically, at that period of time, it reminded me of all the yellow ribbons during the first Iraq war. And then, of course, that came back around to the yellow ribbons again later. Mm-hmm. But I got so fed up with people. It's like September 12th, everybody had a flag up. And I was just like,
nobody really was interested.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they didn't even know what the flag looked like before, you know? And so, they're putting it up. And so I was just trying to come up with some sort of creative response to do something. And I came up with the Think It's Patriotic flag. It's a flag, and in that blue corner, instead of SARS, it says Think, and underneath it says It's Patriotic, underneath the entire flag. And,
they're going to change that thinking. According to the Patriot Act, thinking is actually not considered patriotic. I don't know if you're going to be able to sell those stickers anymore.
I'll change it to don't think it's patriotic.
Yes, you'll probably make more money. I'm sorry.
But I did that, and then I actually made Democracy Means You originally as a way to sell the stickers, and then I realized the joy in having some place to spew all my venom and liberal rage and poison young minds out there. So it eventually turned into the monster it is now. We have, 500 pages and... 200 items for sale and a dozen writers and things like that. So,
and in the beginning, I mean, how did it make that transition from, just being a simple page with one thing to sell to being this sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Like port, where people come in and give and leave information and take information away. I mean,
I just started putting up articles, both serious and satirical. My first article, I think, was about Israel and India following the United States' lead of zero tolerance for anyone's violence but our own. And the second article I had a friend of mine write called Terrorists Toss Tea into Boston Harbor. And then we just...
That was a good one.
Yes. And so, you know, we just started from there. And then eventually I did start advertising in The Nation, and that started people buying things, which allowed me to spend more time doing it. And then George Bush gave me a big hand with driving The Nation to war, and a lot of people had demand for both the articles and the stuff. And
I knew there was some good that came out of this war. I mean, actually, I mean, I'm kidding, but actually, that is almost true when you think about it, that one of the positive things, if indeed there is any positive thing that's come out of Bush being president and mm-hmm. the war, is that it's taken, you know, sort of armchair liberals
mm-hmm.
and put them, given them the impetus to think, to read articles, to take an interest, to do something. Like, you were involved in web design before you built democracymeansyou.com, right?
No, I wasn't. No, actually, that was the thing that did it. I've gone from being an armchair liberal to being a desk chair liberal.
Well, my point is, it makes us think, okay, I got to do something about this. So, what is it that I'm good at? You know, what, mm-hmm. how is it I can express myself creatively? And mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are doing that now. I mean, your mm-hmm. site is one of the best, but there's a lot of sites.
Well, thank you. Yeah, there's a lot of people out there writing. There's a lot of people who are just getting involved. I think it's really forced people to coalesce and get involved in ways, because before, I mean, things were, you know, shitty, but, you know, I mean, we're talking Reagan, you know, and Clinton, and now it's just totally insane. And I think people, after September 11th, that changed a lot of people's perspective, and then to see what their response was to it really radicalized a lot of people and just kind of got a lot of people just off their asses into doing things. And you can tell from the Kerry campaign. I mean, a lot of people were out there with Dean, a lot of people were out there with Kerry, and just because they were, you know, more organized and more malicious than we were doesn't mean that there were actually more people who were wanting Bush to win. I mean, I still don't believe that.
Yeah. I'm still clinging to my questions about the voting machines.
Uh-huh. Yeah, definitely. And even just the way that things were set up.
But so do you look at Democracy Means You as sort of a permanent fixture on the web now, and it's just sort of going to follow politics wherever they go, or is it really designed as a temporary thing to address, you know, the war on terrorism and false patriotism and stuff?
Well, it's permanent until I get sick of it, I think, is what it's going to be, you know, until I either have no time to work on it or I'm doing something else political that doesn't give me time for it. I do have writers who are contributing things, but it does take up a decent amount of my time. And mm-hmm. so, you know, at least a few more years, I'm sure, until Bush gets out of office. And, you know, depending on how my life is at that point, I'll probably continue at least dabbling in it later.
Tell me a little bit more about the features of the site. You have, I know you have printed articles. Are they generally op-ed pieces?
Yeah, most of them are op-ed pieces. We have, you know, obviously the serious and the satire, and then we have fun and games. And one of our newest things is called Political Libs. And I don't know, people know how to play Mad Libs from when they were a kid, where you fill in a noun and an
sure.
adjective and stuff. And it's at politicallibs.com, and there's also links to it from Democracy Means You, and you can make your own kind of political Mad Libs, as it were, you know, without infringing on the trademark of Mad Libs.
Uh-huh.
You can make political libs and, you know, have people say whatever you want. It's pretty fun. So it's just started a couple weeks ago. And we have some video, we have some flash animation. Most of it is just the satire and the serious articles, and we put up maybe three or four things a week. You know, that's about it.
What are your biggest selling items at the moment?
Well, the Think sticker has always been the biggest, by about anywhere from 3 to 1 to 10 to 1 for
wow.
anything else. But people like the Think It's Patriotic sticker. We have a German supported their troops too sticker. Ignorance and Arrogance is Bad Foreign Policy. The ever-popular Bush is a Dumbass, the no W with a slash through it, and then the Go Ahead Piss on Me Toilet and Urinal sticker is a really big seller.
Oh, wow.
You can just, like, put, you know, basically you pour a couple-gallon pot of water into your toilet bowl so it lowers the level, and then you can just dry off a nice spot on there with some TP, stick that thing on there, and do some target practice.
Wow. I remember you had another something else that was pretty funny. In 2004, you had several. You had Bush Satan 2004. You had Bush Orwell 2004 stickers, and you have T-shirts too, right?
Right. Yeah, we're actually at this point we're still trying to clear out the stuff from the election. We have T-shirts that we're done clearing sale. We have a few of the Bush Satan, Bush Orwell stickers. What else is popular? We have a Ban Republican Marriage sticker. It says Ban Republican Marriage. Hatred is unnatural and disgusting, and it has a a picture of two GOP elephants facing each other holding trunks with a little black heart above it, and then the entire thing has a circle and a slash around it.
Oh, wow.
That's a real popular one. What else we got that people are really into these days?
Do you notice any trends in purchasing? Like, if something happens in the news, and then it might be followed up by a large purchase of shirts and stickers, like, do people's interest in political paraphernalia, does it sort of come and go in waves?
It seems to. I don't, relate it specifically to small things in the media. I mean, generally, the more heated things are about the war, probably the more people buy things. And then people kind of slowed down after the election for a few months, then it picked up. I definitely see a kind of tide that comes and goes, and I don't think that it's necessarily pinned to anything specific outside. It's just a matter of how angry people are or how sarcastic people are feeling.
How angry and sarcastic are you feeling these days?
I'm feeling, less angry and sarcastic and more just kind of ready to trudge around and do what needs to be done. I'm always pretty sarcastic, but I think I've gotten over the anger, and actually I'm trying to, change more things on the site towards a productivity. What can we actually do? How can we actually, promote the things that we want to promote, the values, the ideas, and get those out there? I know that the right in some ways is correct in, their accusation that the left, doesn't have vision and doesn't have values and just has programs and only criticizes. There's some truth in that, even though I think that it's at least 50% spin. And I think that a lot of us on the left need to get out and articulate, our vision and our values and what we're actually going to do about it in the, both in the broader scheme, which is the vision and the values, and in the specifics, which are the programs and the policies. And I think that it's been really frustrating because, you also have to stop the bleeding, and that means that we do have to sit there and criticize what's going on, but we have to criticize what's going on and provide alternatives that are a lot better and sensible, and also deal with all the bullshit that we get in return, which is, anytime anybody says anything about the president or about the war that's critical, there's still a whole bunch of crap that comes back at you, and you just have to deal with that and keep going and just not take it personally, not take it on, and just keep putting out what it is that your vision and your values and what you plan to do.
Wow. That was really well put. I mean, that really sort of hits the nail on the head. I mean, that is where the change will come from. We're starting now to think about 2008, and whether or not he's going to sneak a third term into the Patriot Act or something like that. And it's really going to come down to can we do enough, can we be organized enough, can we be productive enough. So, and hopefully things like democracymeansyou.com and just in general people taking an interest,
and also can we be organized enough and strategic enough. I mean, what happened in Ohio, there's all the thing about the black box voting machines, but a lot of what happened was just good old-fashioned vote suppression. I mean, they did things like Blackwell, who is the Secretary of State for Ohio, in addition to being the campaign manager for the Bush campaign in Ohio, was responsible for determining how many voting machines went in which area. So in crowded urban areas, which are primarily Democratic, they had huge backlogs of lines and shortages of machines, and old machines have broke down. And in rich white Republican areas, there are more machines than people, you know? And, I mean, that's an exaggeration, but they had absolutely no shortage of machines, and it wasn't just because there are fewer people out there. And those sort of strategies, or the strategies of going out and putting, you know, flyers in urban areas, you know, poor urban areas, saying don't forget to vote on November 3rd, you know,
right.
You know, all that kind of bullshit. And that's been going on, you know, forever, and especially, you know, here in the South. And
oh, you're calling, that's right. It's not like, sitting here in my comfy little Kilradio studio in Los Angeles, and you're calling all the way from North Carolina, right?
That's right. Well, y'all are in the South there too, right?
Yeah, technically. It ain't the North.
Yeah, well, I'm a New York boy, transferred to San Francisco, transferred to Chapel Hill. So, you know, I'm all over the place. But there's, the vote suppression and those nasty little tactics, I think, are by far the most important. I think that the black box games, you know, are important as well. But just, you know, keep your eye on the ball. You know, that's the thing. You know, don't let them get away with the same crap again. You know, we just have to be ready for it, and we have to get out there and make sure that the infrastructure is in place and proper this time.
Yeah. Well, I'm certainly motivated to do
awesome.
What I did last time, which was vote. But just curious, what's your take on this this issue of immediate and complete withdrawal from Iraq? Do you think that it's, you know, that it's wise? That it's, I mean, it's like I tend to want to side with the idea because I don't think we should be there in the first place. But then, you know, there are legitimate concerns about, you know, is it fair? Is it reasonable? Is it, you know, logistical to just, you know, leave now that we've gotten ourselves into this big mess? Like I always tell people, you know, there are situations you can leave and still not get out of. What are your thoughts on you know, the, I was just reading this article about the hawkish Democrats, you know, calling for this Representative Murtha.
Right. When they've immediately started, like, you know, castrating him now,
yeah.
too, you know, saying, oh, well, I'm sorry that he's become another voice piece for the Democratic Party, or, you know, whatever.
Well, he's a Democrat, but still, you know, he was,
yeah.
you know, he's got several Purple Hearts, and, you know, he's...
Yeah,
he's very militarily in tune, and he's recommending immediate complete withdrawal.
Yeah, and I think that they're probably going to start, you know, likening him to Bin Laden pretty soon. You know, just like they did with what's his name down in Georgia. Is I can't remember his name up. You know, the guy with one arm. You know.
I don't know his name either.
Anyway, I think that it's stupid just to pull out completely with nothing in place. I think that a you know, relatively rapid planning to get the UN in there, you know, and other countries, and to be involved with that and get American faces, you know, out and have a more international force is really crucial. And it's been, that's what should have happened from the get-go. I think just to completely pull out without having anything in its place is stupid. Although, you know, I heard someone else on the radio today say, you know, they've been around for thousands of years, and they're going to continue to be around for thousands of years, no matter what we do, you know, without our help.
Well, my thought is that it would be ideal to pull out and put some sort of, you know, UN international force in there, keep the peace or whatever, but is that really, that's kind of a fantasy, right? I mean, because the administration we have would never do something like that. Maybe they'd pull out as, you know, under some sort of pressure, but certainly they wouldn't go and then do the right thing. You know?
Well, they do have the history of doing the right thing when forced to, and a lot of politicians do. I mean, when Bush originally went through the motions of going to the UN, it was only because of both domestic and international pressure. I mean, they still did what they wanted anyway. And I just think that it would be, it's a very unpopular, what is the latest statistic? 63% of Americans disagree with the way that the administration has handled the war in Iraq.
Wow.
63%, yeah. And so I think that there may be a point where they don't have any choice. I mean, you know, Nixon pulled out of Vietnam, you know?
Yeah.
He didn't have a whole lot of choice.
Another example of, you know, the people getting together and saying, you know, listen, this is what we want. We're the country. You have to do what we want. This is how democracy works. We are the country of the United States, and the people want this thing. That's really what ended the war, was protest and being outspoken and being
productive. 58,000 dead young men and women.
Well, it made it all that much easier to protest and be productive when you had, you know, statistics to back you up. But we have the statistics now. I mean,
right.
Like we have in Iraq, you know, every time I hear some report coming out of Iraq, it's the same thing. It's, okay, so we got there, and anyone who was vaguely military kind of ran away and abandoned all the military posts, and now they're all hanging out in the cities and picking us off one by one with innovative devices.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's such a waste. I mean, for those of us who were against it from the get-go and, you know, just saw it as an opportunity that the administration was taking to leverage, you know, September 11th to do something they wanted to do anyway.
Yeah, well, any time, it doesn't even matter what the facts are, any time your government is looking forward to going to war, you know something's up.
Exactly.
It was clear, like, the whole time, they were like, we can't wait to go to war. We're going to do everything we can to make sure we go to war.
He couldn't keep his trousers up, you know? Or Dick Cheney couldn't, anyway. But we've been doing some research out here. One of our focuses right now is a program we're putting together called Focus, which is food, clothing, housing, whatever. I can't remember off the top of my head. But basically, we're looking at what would it actually take to end poverty in the United States, and we're looking at not looking at any of the other monies that are being spent at the federal or state level. So if we were to ignore everything that's being spent on poverty, the entire welfare budget, the entire Medicare, it would take roughly $500 billion to do that. And I'm just thinking it's been, what, $260 billion in Iraq, right? So basically we've, you know, killed 2,000 Americans, injured another 20,000, killed anywhere from 50 to 120,000 Iraqis, and have squandered the possibility of ending, you know, of really making huge strides towards ending poverty in this country as we know it, and instead going off and spending resources on this war that has done nothing productive whatsoever. It's just putting those things in context. I mean, that's, and if we were to spend that money abroad, I mean, the World Health Organization has estimated that $40 billion would end hunger as we know it in the world. And if you think about, you know, what you want to do to reduce terrorism, what you want to do to reduce hatred of the United States and to improve goodwill, I can't think of anything better than ending hunger and ending poverty, you know?
It's difficult to deliver a fatwa with a sandwich in your mouth.
That's what Mom always used to say. But, you know, there I go being a pie-in-the-sky liberal. You know, I just,
yeah,
you know...
You're
just
the enemy, Ian.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, live on KillReview.org, the voice of the actual enemy. Ian Kleinfeld, thank you for calling in and being my guest. And
thank you, John.
And talking with me. Everybody should go check out www.democracymeansyou.com. It's a marvelous
website. And buy stuff, of course.
But even if you can't afford to buy anything at the moment, you should at least read the articles and come away with that. And if you come away with something and you've learned something, well, then you really owe Ian money, so you should buy stuff.
You know, you just have fun and tell your friends. And you know, John, I'd be happy to call in late on your show anytime again if you want.
Great. Well, you're always welcome late.
Okay.
Take care, Ian.
Thanks, John. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.